Eric Metaxas here. Please join me in a life-saving mission to set Sudanese slaves free through Christian Solidarity International. Since 1995, CSI has freed more than 100,000 women and children from years of bondage and abuse. Your $250 gift frees, feeds, and heals these captives and sets them on a path to a new life in freedom. Please help us free another slave now. Call 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, or click the CSI banner at MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com.
Hey, hi, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm the announcer, Todd Wilkerson, and I'm taking a bubble bath right now.
Yeah, it's such a treat luxuriating in this warm water with scented candles and my favorite Rachmaninoff. Oh, no, sorry, it's Popoff.
Anyway, that's the beauty of radio. No one can see you.
In your nakedness.
Well, I'd like to get back to my fashion magazine, so let me introduce your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey, folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Yes! I'm Eric Metaxas, and this is the show. This is it. I apologize. This is it. This is all we could do. Albin and Chris, how you guys doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Look who's back. A new guest is here. Look at that.
Oh, that creepy, demonic. Get it away.
That's Grant Garlou.
You know, if people aren't watching this on video, then they can't see the hideous thing. And honestly, good for them. Folks, this is a radio show. If you're listening on radio, you can't see the creepy evil mascot that Albin has allied himself with spiritually. Albin, I rebuke you.
Thank you.
Chris, thank you for not putting any idols in the background of your shot.
Now, yeah, there's a lot to cover here.
Excuse me, but I just want to say, folks, don't go away because Zmirek is coming up. John Zmirek, big bad John Zmirek, John the Situation Zmirek, he's coming up in hour two today. We have Nick Adams, who told me at the end of the interview that he's Greek. He sort of compares Trump to Churchill unironically. So it's going to be interesting. Later on this week, we have John Rankin finally coming back. I think we mentioned that last week. And we do have Newt Gingrich coming up. Albin, are you just...
Yes, I just got that confirmed. Newt Gingrich, he's
from
over there
Rome.
In Rome. Rome, yes.
From Rome, Italy.
Yes, from Rome, Italy. Yeah, his wife's over there because she's some kind of ambassador or something.
Yeah, she's like the Cardinal, College of Cardinals,
might be the new Pope. Who knows? Right?
Okay. So, what were we going to talk about, Chris? You were just going to say something and I cut you off.
No, it's okay. You thanked me for not having any idols in the background. And I was just going to let you know that Amazon is a little delayed, but they should be here soon.
So. The idols are arriving.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've got a lot to cover today. When we talk to Zmirek, we'll cover a lot of the news. But I just have to say, in my own life, some exciting things happened. This weekend was my birthday. And the good news about getting older, if you're me, is that it's also my dad's birthday. And he's 36 years older than me. So he turned 93 on Saturday. And so I feel like a kid compared to him. And it's really, I think of it as really his birthday, you know, because I want to honor my dad. So we were in Danbury, Connecticut with the whole family celebrating. And it was a wonderful thing to do. And I felt so blessed. It was an uncommon feeling of blessedness. I just thank God that I have my parents. So many people, of course, have lost their parents, and I know that you guys have lost your parents. It's just one of those things that I don't take it for granted. I'm beyond taking it for granted. So I was so grateful this weekend to have my folks with me, and I sent out a tweet. Actually, two things I should cover. First of all, I was on the Rubin Report. Now, Dave Rubin, he didn't know anything of me. He'd never heard of me until I interviewed him on this program, whatever it was, a few months ago. So he then had me on his show, The Rubin Report. And it really was interesting. If you hadn't had a chance to see it, I put it on my Twitter and on Parler. There's a new thing out there. What do you call this? What do you call it? I said a new thing.
The social media platform.
Platform called Parler. P-A-R-L-E-R. Parler. To parlay is to talk. So Parler, it's like kind of a anyway, I'm on Parler.com. I'm on Gab.com. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. And of course, we're at YouTube. We have our own channel on YouTube, The Eric Metaxas Show. But I was on the Rubin Report, and it was very interesting. And I would say, take a look at it if you get a chance. So that was exciting. He posted the whole thing. First, he posts clips, and you have to pay to see the whole thing. But then eventually, he posted the whole thing. So I just posted it the other day. I also want to say, on the morning of my birthday, I tweeted. I thought, what do I want for my birthday? And I don't know where this came from, except God. But I said, if you're out there, folks, if you want to do something for my birthday, please do this. Think of someone who's your enemy, your ideological enemy, somebody you hate, whatever it is, and pray for them right now. Now, some people get that, and a lot of people did that, and I'm grateful to those of you who did that, very grateful. But some people don't get that, and I want to make it clear. We've talked about this on Ask Metaxas on this program, I think, but when you pray for your enemies, when Jesus commands us to love our enemies, to pray for our enemies, he does not mean, like, wish them well in their evil, okay? In other words, if somebody's doing something horrible that I disagree with and I pray for them, my prayer is that God's will be done in their life, not that they would continue doing the thing that makes them my ideological enemy or whatever it is, supporting anything that I think is a terrible thing. But it's important for us to see them as human beings and to pray for them, whether it's a politician or somebody in the media, to pray for them that they might see God and be humbled in a way that they might be able to see something in a different way. So that's really what it means to pray for our enemies. But anyway, I just thought I'd mention that. And then on the other social platforms where you have more than 280 characters, I said, please do that. And then also please pre-order my new Donald the Caveman book. It's called Donald and the Fake News, and that's coming out.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what else I said. Sign up for my newsletter, because a lot of people, usually my closest friends, they don't know about the newsletter or about the radio show. So
well,
I just thought I'd mention that.
Can I mention something that kind of ties into your birthday? Today is Mike Lindell's birthday, okay?
Oh, I forgot.
Yes.
Well, happy birthday, Mike Lindell.
And yes, can I mention this? I understand that if you buy a MyPillow.com today, you go to MyPillow.com, put in Eric, you will get a pillow covered in icing.
In chocolate icing or vanilla icing?
You can pick
on the website.
In honor of his
listening
birthday.
Don't know that Mike Lindell, whose birthday it is today. Happy birthday, Mikey. Mike Lindell, he's a real patriot and a sweet man. And I think of him as an American hero. He's just an extraordinary person. But he's the guy behind MyPillow. And there's certain channels where you watch them, and it's nonstop MyPillow commercials. And every now and again, they'll have a news update. But MyPillow.com, if you buy anything from them, you must use the code Eric. I will repeat this, for the duration of this program, throughout the years and decades. If you ever buy anything from MyPillow.com, I don't care if you saw it advertised on Fox News or on the web or whatever, you got to use the code Eric, because they are a major sponsor of this show, and I believe we have the biggest discount, or at least equal to any discount.
Yeah.
If you get a bigger discount, you go with it. But that's
even if you saw it on Rachel Maddow's show.
Yes, exactly. I don't think he advertises on MSNBC.
it's a joke.
But
The code Eric is very powerful. I tried it out before. I tested it against some other ones, and it's ridiculous. He must like you more than the others.
Radioactive.
It's better than Garlou. Don't use Garlou. Use Eric.
Okay, now Garlou, we've got to describe Garlou. We've only got a minute left before John Zmirak destroys our banter with some incisive, important things to say. But I got to tell you, Garlou, it's something from your childhood, right, Alvin? Yes.
Oh, yeah. Great Garlou. Yeah.
And when you came to faith, you didn't lay Garlou on the altar and renounce him.
I laid hands on him.
That's part of your sanctification process. You need to renounce Garlou.
Garlou looks like if the Jolly Green Giant spent 1,000 years sleeping at Chernobyl. That's kind of what that's what Garlou looks like.
You're insane, and
yeah, like a nap. Like,
by the way, if anybody's watching today, I put on a tie because I thought I'm a year older and I need to dress up now. I need to acknowledge that I'm almost an adult. We're going to go to a break, folks. When we come back, be afraid, be very, very afraid, because John Zmirak will be with us. See you in a moment.
Big John. Big John.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
Hey there, folks. Welcome back. As I warned you, we have as my guest my friend John Zmirak. John, welcome back.
Hey, Eric. Good to be on.
You wrote an article, leave it to you to talk about this, but you compare Jim Jones to what is happening now in our country with the BLM cult, with the Marxist mania. It's at thestream.org or stream.org, but I wanted you to talk about it on this program. Sure. There's a lot there, so just have at it.
First, let's remind people who Jim Jones was, because not everybody is in the prime of life like you and I are. Some people are little tiny children. Jim Jones was a liberation theologian. He was a progressive Christian. He was a racial justice advocate. He was a mass murdering cult leader. Yes,
okay, hold on. I'm sorry. I just in case anybody's tuning in, some people have heard of Jonestown. Jonestown, it was a religious cult. Where was it? I don't remember where it was. Guyana?
Yeah, it had moved to Guyana, but I think it's best to do this a little bit. Jim Jones was the white Al Sharpton in the 1970s. He was a community organizer. He opened a church, a so-called church he called the People's Temple. And it was all about social justice and putting Christianity into action. And today it would have a rainbow flag. Okay. It was gay friendly. It was mostly black people from the neighborhood that he reached out to. There's a terrific book telling the story called Cult City by my friend Daniel Flynn.
And we talked about that program. We had Daniel Flynn on this program to talk about Cult City. And this is most people have no clue about this. So the fact that you brought this to my attention. I want my audience to hear the whole story, but forgive me, John. I just want people to know, if you've ever heard the term "he drank the Kool-Aid," it comes from this evil thing that happened, this mass massacre that happened in the late 70s. Most people know Jim Jones as this dark figure, this guru wearing sunglasses, who forced thousands of people to drink Kool-Aid laced with poison and to die. 1,000 people died, something like that. But most people have no clue, including me, until you, John Zmirak, told me about it, the backstory that's covered in this book, Cult City, because I just want people to track. We're talking about Jonestown, Jim Jones, and drinking the Kool-Aid, one of the worst things you can imagine. And you and I remember it on TV, the pictures and stuff. But you're right, most people today don't know that.
Jim Jones was considered the leading progressive liberal theologian in America. He organized thousands of people. He did get out the vote things. In fact, he enthusiastically led voter fraud. He helped the Democrat get elected mayor of San Francisco by busing in voters from Los Angeles and Mendocino and neighboring counties to vote in the San Francisco city election.
Are you talking about for Harvey Milk?
No. Harvey Milk was not mayor. No,
it was Moscone.
He was a big vote fraud Democrat running the People's Temple, using it as a political base, kind of the way Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson used churches as political bases. The interesting thing is Jim Jones admitted he didn't believe in God or in the Bible. He actually said socialism is the essence of Christianity. I am the essence of socialism. Therefore, I am God. And the people who had been going to him for years and watching him do fake miracles and fake ESP and fake faith healings, they had come to believe in him, and they put their trust in him. And he was talking always about racial injustice and how America was evil and how the people, especially black people, had to seize back the power. I mean, he was sounded exactly like Black Lives Matter. And major Democrats like Mayor Moscone of San Francisco, Harvey Milk, the city supervisor, gay activist, both very close friends with Jim Jones. They wrote letters of support for him to the Guyanan government. Jimmy Carter's wife, Rosalind, was friends with him. When she came to San Francisco to speak, Jim Jones is the man who introduced her up on the stage. When Jim Jones decided to go to Guyana to create a socialist utopia, he started committing abuses, beating people up, and people complained to the Guyanan government, was complained to the U.S. State Department. Jimmy Carter's people were so close to Jim Jones, they dismissed all these complaints and even ratted out the names of the people who had been complaining.
You have a man who, let's be honest, he was a madman. You don't get a lot of genuine madmen. We talk about it, we use the term, but he was a madman. He was a narcissistic, psychopathic madman who ended up murdering thousands. But you're telling me, and this is to me the takeaway, the Democratic establishment was fully behind Jim Jones. That has been swept under the rug of history. It is forgotten, except for you and the author of Cult City. We would never know that all of these celebrated Democratic leaders, including Moscone, Harvey Milk, and
Willie Brown. Willie Brown, Kamala Harris's political mentor. Willie Brown is the guy who got Kamala Harris into politics. He was close friends with Jim Jones. And in my article at stream.org, I have all the lavish praise that Harvey Milk and Moscone, the San Francisco mayor.
Harvey Milk.
The one who ended up with Kamala Harris. I'm sorry. I'm Brown. Yeah. All of them writing letters of praise to the Carter administration about Jones while he was running his cult compound in Guyana with his private militia that he called Red Brigades that would beat up anyone who dissented. The thing is, I don't think we should focus on Jones as a madman. He was a typical socialist revolutionary visionary. If you look at Maduro in Venezuela, and before him Chavez, if you look at radical left-wing leaders around the world, Jim Jones just tells the story of communism and socialism in sped up form. Starts out with perverted hijacked Christianity, eventually shoves Jesus out of the picture because social justice is more important, makes revolution the tool of social justice, claims it will create heaven on earth, gets total power over the people, creates hell on earth. Really, like the history of the Soviet Union over 70 years was condensed into like 2 or 3 years with the People's Temple and Jim Jones. But Jim Jones is not like a Charles Manson or Ted Bundy. He was more like a Lenin, a Castro, a Mao Zedong. And it's like God let us see a microcosm of how evil revolutionary politics are. And now we're seeing it in Seattle, in Minneapolis. In Seattle, they set up a 6-block cult compound that was being ruled by warlords with guns for weeks. And now then the Democrats decided enough is enough, pulled the string and closed it. I have another piece at stream.org. How tightly does the Democratic Party control Antifa and Black Lives Matter?
I want to get to that later. We've got you for some time today, thank the Lord. But your audio is not great. I don't know if we can fix that on the break, but I want to say, John, what you do is you teach us things that we didn't know. Again, if it weren't for you, I would have no clue about the connection that this maniac murderer, Jim Jones, had to all of these left-leaning politicians. That has been swept under the rug. You never hear of it. I've not heard of it in the 40 years since this happened. And I find that, scandalous would put it mildly. It's an evil thing when we hide our history. And this is the history of the recent Democratic Party. Let's at least be honest about it. But my goodness, what you're telling me, I had no clue about any of this.
I recommend everyone read the book Cult City. It shows you how the Democratic Party has been playing footsie and working with radical revolutionary leftist movements like Jim Jones's, like Black Lives Matter, like Antifa. It's been working with them for decades.
Well, it's a fact. But what's interesting, John, is you make the connection. In other words, you just brilliantly, clarified for us that the Jim Jones story is the whole thing sped up. In other words, these communist revolutions, these socialist revolutions, it's always the same thing. You said it very clearly. I had never seen that before. And of course, if you don't know the Jim Jones story, nobody would even go there with that. But it really is the same kind of thing. It ends in a bloodbath, as the French Revolution did, we don't need to get into that. We're going to go to a break. We're going to continue, folks, with John Zmierak. Don't go away.
The Trump campaign has a special offer just for you. President Trump wants to meet you. This will be the first opportunity he's had to meet with American patriots like you since our country started reopening. His team will cover the flight and hotel and give you VIP access for yourself and a guest. He'll even take a picture with you. All you have to do is text VIP to 88022 today for your chance to meet President Trump. Again, that's VIP to 88022 for your chance to win and join President Trump in the fight to keep America great for four more years.
Hi, folks. Trying times. Just know they won't last. Trying times can be hard on our digestive tract. So why not try Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com? Life Change Tea is an herbal blend of tea that helps the digestive tract and the colon cleanse from intruders. For years, people have experienced the benefits from Life Change Tea. And so can you. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. And for those of you that want to go a step further, we have non-GMO organic supplements. If you're listening to Eric, you're informed and educated. So how about free shipping? Just go to the checkout, find the coupon code, enter Eric, E-R-I-C, hit apply, and receive free shipping. Again, Eric, in the coupon code, hit apply, free shipping. These historic times will pass. The yuck in your gut will pass also with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com.
Our love is a lie, and so we begin. Foolishly laying our hearts on the table, stumbling in.
Hey, folks, I'm back with John Zmierak. I think we've cleared up some audio issues. John Zmierak, let's continue our conversation about Jim Jones, Guyana, and the current Democratic establishment. What is the title of your piece at stream.org?
The last time Democrats embraced a demonic mass movement, the Reverend Jim Jones.
A demonic mass movement. Okay, so you're saying, and this is strong stuff, but I think I agree with it, that the current movement, you're saying it's demonic. I guess I want to clarify, because we have to clarify. We keep saying this over and over and over again. I say it. And my guests say it, if you really care about Black lives in America, you must distance yourself from the Black Lives Matter movement and the Black Lives Matter organization, because they are harming Black lives. Just the other day, I didn't want to forget to mention this, John. Yesterday, I was flipping around and on the AMC channel, what is that, American Movie Classics or something like that, they had an ad that AMC supports Black Lives Matter and asks you, our viewers, to support them and these organizations and whatever the organizations were. I thought to myself, Black Lives Matter, they're shills for the Democratic Party. They're shills for socialism. they have nothing to do with improving the lives of blacks. We want to be clear about this. And this movement is a cultural Marxist movement that if you really care about those who are struggling in this country, you must distance yourself from them. You must know what they are. And that's what we're about on this show, is exposing this lie that they are some sweet organization that they have hijacked anything good that was coming out of the George Floyd thing. They completely hijacked it, and they're funneling money to the Democratic Party and funneling money to these terrible organizations. So please continue. You're talking about that movement.
Right. The movement Black Lives Matter is run by an open, committed Marxist who trained with convicted terrorists linked to the Weather Underground and other terrorist movements. I've got that documentation in another article at stream.org. I can go into that, but it's a openly Marxist organization. Look up the woman who founded it here. Let me find that for you. I'll give you the name of the woman who founded it, and all the listeners can look her up.
Well, while you're looking for this, John, go ahead.
Her name is Patrice Cullors. Patrice, P-A-T-R-I-S-S-E, Cullors, C-U-L-L-O-R-S. She spent 10 years being mentored by Weather Underground terrorist and Bill Iyer's comrade, Eric Mann. This is where she learned political organizing and Marxist-Leninist ideology. Mann was not just a member of the Weather Underground, but Students for a Democratic Society, noted for blowing up police stations and government buildings.
Okay, sound familiar?
So this is an organization run by Marxists. It funnels the money it's getting from these corporations to the Democratic Party. It attacks statues of Abraham Lincoln and Ulysses Grant and George Washington. And, you know, that's not just craziness. There's a logic behind that, which we can talk about if you're interested. But anyway, Black Lives Matter is a slogan. It's a trademark, a brilliant piece of marketing. If I were to start a group, Joe Biden Should Not Beat His Wife, LLC, and got people and said, if you don't give to Joe Biden Shouldn't Beat His Wife, then you think he should. And you support systemic domestic violence. Give me $1 billion. I'm going to burn down the post office. That's how much connection this has to anything that happens to any Black person in America, except that Black Lives Matter supports Planned Parenthood, which cuts up Black babies and sells their organs to labs so they can be implanted in the bodies of rich white people. But we're not supposed to talk about that.
Well, look, John, it's a terrible thing in a way that we have to come on the air and tell people these things that they're never going to hear almost anywhere else. And, you know, you feel that's part of the horror of the culture in which we live, is that the media tends, to be very liberal. But we've turned a corner in the last few years. I think Trump, in being the way he is, he drives people kind of half nuts. And so things have gotten much more cynical. And right now, you know, the fact that you and I on this program have to tell people you are being fooled. Black Lives Matter, the movement, Black Lives Matter, the organization. This is incredibly cynical. This is genius marketing, and they are playing on people's white guilt to get money. And it's working. They're raising money off of people's white guilt. If you really have white guilt, the last thing you should do is give to this Marxist organization. They are going to, if anything, harm Black lives in America.
Let's be clear why. Let's be clear how and why. Black Lives Matter said it opposes the nuclear family, that children should be raised by the community. You know, that's the real problem in the Black community, isn't it? Too many dictatorial fathers bossing those kids around, marching those kids through their paces, making them work long hours, making them obey the law. That's really the problem in the Black community.
Well, look, your sarcasm is going to be missed. Some people are going to miss your sarcasm. We're going to go to a break in a second here. But I want to, as usual, just underscore what you've said and clarify the biggest problem. And this was identified by Daniel Patrick Moynihan, okay, the Democratic senator from New York, in 1965, said the problem in the Black communities is the breakdown of the family. It's the absence of fathers. Black Lives Matter, the movement, they are absolutely aiding and abetting the breakdown of the nuclear family. When we come back, more with John Smirak. Hey, folks, I'm talking to John Smirak. John, let's talk about, you've written so many articles. Let's write about the No Lives Matter. Let's talk about the No Lives Matter article that you wrote for stream.org.
That's right. I thought, let me try to irritate as many people as possible. You know, you're not allowed to say all lives matter. You're not allowed to say blue lives matter. You have to repeat the sacred mantra, black lives matter, exactly that way. If you don't repeat the sacred phrase and burn incense in front of the statue of Caesar, you are going to be an enemy of the regime. And I thought, well, let me just think this through a little bit. Most of the people who are saying that you have to say this, who are demanding that you go along with this program and you repeat the marketing slogan of this Marxist organization, do they really believe that lives matter at all? And why do any lives matter? Aren't most of them Darwinian materialists who believe that human beings are the result of cosmic accidents and radiation hitting genes and mutating themselves, and then through the survival of the fittest, the absolutely ruthless competition that is in nature that produces one species after another. And according to Darwin himself, he believed that the white race was the highest race among the human beings. And he used what he called the hierarchy of the races in his book, The Descent of Man. He used the whites being on top and the blacks economically being at the bottom, this is the 19th century, as proof of evolution. He pointed to the
John, I always have to hit pause and interrupt you. You know, what you're saying is huge. It's absolutely huge. How is it possible that people don't know this? This is another part of history that's been swept under the rug. You're not making this up. You're not exaggerating. Darwin was openly racist, and it fit perfectly with his paradigm of survival of the fittest. In other words, it wasn't just a knee-jerk feeling of that time and place. It actually came out of his thinking along the lines of natural selection, survival of the fittest.
Here's the crucial thing. If you believe in the God of the Bible and the creation of man, you believe that we're all the children of Adam and Eve and all bear the mark of the divine image, all bear the dignity of children of God, that Jesus Christ died for us all, that we're all images of God, and whatever our cultural, biological, political differences, we're fundamentally all brothers and sisters under the skin. Darwin is the single biggest reason people stop believing that. And remember, Adolf Hitler claimed that Nazism was just Darwinism applied, the way communism was Marxism applied. So what I want to ask the people who are insisting Black Lives Matter, do you believe in the God of the Bible? Do you believe that we are the intentional creations of a loving God? If you don't, why do any lives matter? You don't believe life in the womb matters. You don't believe the life of the elderly matter that much, or you wouldn't support Governor Cuomo killing them in nursing homes. Why are we supposed to believe life is suddenly sacred because you happen to find it convenient because you've got a good slogan for a Marxist organization, Black Lives Matter? You don't believe, in fact, that Black Lives Matter or any lies. So I wrote an article at stream.org called No Lives Matter. And I would love people to look it up. And I think it's a good comeback. When people start chanting Black Lives Matter, you should chant back, No Lives Matter. No Lives Matter. And make them go, wait a minute. And just say, come on, it's survival of the fittest, right? So who cares, right? I just want my genes to spread across the earth. And if my descendants can be more powerful than yours, maybe they'll get more of their genes spread across the globe. And it's survival of the fittest, you know, just like the biggest sea lion takes all the females on the beach and creates a harem. Maybe rich white people should have harems and we should reproduce as much as possible. I mean, anytime someone argues about racism, ask, well, given that Darwinism is true, how is racism wrong? What's wrong with it?
That's exactly right. What's wrong with racism? Let's talk about it. We know you
Christians have an answer.
We know what's wrong with it. But if you don't believe in the Bible and the God of the Bible, tell me what is wrong with it. Now, it's funny that you bring up sea lions, but the fact of the matter is that is correct. And so we also need to refer to Margaret Sanger. Racism works its way, you know, through this worldview from Darwin, survival of the fittest, through the eugenics movement before the Nazis. The Nazis learned from whites like Margaret Sanger. And the eugenics movement was all about racism. I just posted a clip that Margaret Sanger was talking to Mike Wallace. You know, this must have been the 1950s. And it's so clear in her language that she wants to end the lives of those who, as she puts it, are going to end up in prison and so on and so forth. She is basically a hardcore racist. She was a little careful, but not that careful about how she phrased it. That is the worldview we're dealing with when we're dealing with Marxists and materialists from the, in the Darwinist mold.
And Planned Parenthood, let's remind people, Margaret Sanger founded Planned Parenthood as a eugenics organization and was openly a eugenics organization right up till the Nuremberg war trials. Then all of a sudden, it dropped that and picked up the so-called population crisis. She would put on and pull off eugenics arguments like a Klan hood in a Virginia governor's big closet. Talking of Governor Northam of Virginia. But racism is just one of the natural consequences of Darwinian materialism. If you don't believe God made us, then you believe the ruthless struggle for survival of the fittest made us. And again, anytime someone claims to be upset about racism, find out if they cop to being a Christian or a religious Jew. And if they're not, tell them, I'm sorry, you don't have the right to be opposed to that. I mean, you just don't have any justification for it.
That brings up something I've mentioned many times, I think, on this program, that Black Lives Matter is precisely pitted against the Martin Luther King Christian view of race relations. He comes out of the biblical tradition, and he's really looking for harmony between the races. Black Lives Matter is a Marxist identity politics organization that really is itself racist against people who aren't black. And ultimately, that's what it ends up being about. We're going to go to another break. Final segment this hour with John Zmudirek. Don't go away. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to John Zmudirek. John, let's keep going, and then we'll keep you on into hour two, and then later on we'll be talking to Nick Adams about his book, Comparing Trump to Churchill. No kidding. But right now we've got you. So let's keep going.
Sure. I'm trying to explain, and I got a piece at stream.org, No Lives Matter. And in it, I try to explain why we have chaos in the streets, but when the Democratic Party snaps its fingers as it did in Seattle, all of a sudden they close down Chazistan and they all leave peacefully, you know, when the Democrats decide that they've done their work. What is really going on? And I have six potential theories that I go through. And the least likely ones I start with, and then I build up to the most likely ones, okay? Theory one, systemic racism is real. There's a white conspiracy against black people in America, even though discrimination is illegal and affirmative action micromanages and polices every economic transaction and every rental agreement. You get alphabet soup of federal agencies policing racism. Nevertheless, systemic racism is real. It's in our genes. We can't help it. It suffuses everything. It's hiding under our bed at night. And of course, we need to wake up to that, even though God didn't make us. Darwin made us. No, natural selection made us. So there's no really good argument for why racism or any other form of injustice is wrong. I sum this up in a little hymn. I wrote a really short hymn. No lives matter. This I know because Charles Darwin taught me so. If I pretend that some lives do, that's just political kung fu.
That's just political kung fu. Okay.
Oh, that's not very likely. Okay. Systemic racism is a conspiracy theory. Like another conspiracy theory, the one that the human race has been run since the age of the caveman by shape-shifting reptilian aliens who can look human, but in fact, underneath the skin, they are reptilian overlords from a neighboring planet that have taken us over. Now
there are people, John, who really
believe this.
It sounds like you're just joking, but there are people who believe that. I don't know why.
Thousands of people believe this. There's a best-selling author, David Icke, I-C-K-E. I highly recommend his books because they're hilarious. And they believe that Jesus, Queen Elizabeth, most historical figures, important historical figures, have been shape-shifting reptilian lizard men. So my theory number two is that the lizard men who have been guiding our civilization since the cavemen, obviously we need them, and they have abandoned us. The lizard men have gone home. They said, fine, people keep complaining about us, we're going to leave. And now we're seeing what happens when the lizard men are not here to guide us. So we need them
45
to come back.
Seconds left. Give us one more theory. And then in hour two, we'll start off with you and the rest of these theories. And we'll see which one you agree to.
The third theory is China is trying regime change. They're trying to destabilize us. They're funneling money through organizations. They're doing to us what we did to Libya. Maybe that's how it's happening.
Now, wait a minute. I certainly think that could be an element here, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, they are.
I'm moving to the realistic ones. I mean, China is cracking down on Hong Kong, threatening war with India, seizing islands all through the South China Sea, while we are conveniently ripping the heads off statues of Abraham Lincoln. Is that completely a coincidence?
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to, that's the end of the first hour. We're going to drag you over. It's like being keel-hauled into hour two. And then later on, we'll talk about Trump and Churchill. Folks, thanks for listening. John, don't go away.